The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America. This is Beyond Networking. And now, here's your host, Ron Sukenik.
Well, hello and welcome to Beyond Networking, Being with Ron Sukenik. And I am Ron Sukenik. And, you know, I am so thrilled that you're taking the time to listen to this podcast. In fact, I want to thank many of you because you keep sending me emails and you keep saying great comments, great people, keep it up. And look, the pressure is on and I got it. So you're going to be thrilled with our guest today. But, you know, if you are listening to this podcast for the first time, I don't know how you go out and make contacts with people you meet, but I can tell you this, experience shows that you are not together very long. And if you think that you are just going to go out and pass business cards, make follow-up calls, and shake hands with people, I'd have to say you're making a mistake. In fact, I'm sure our guest will agree. You have to get way beyond this concept of networking. I often talk about building relationships. Yes, they open doors. They don't always make sales, but I believe strongly, and I'm sure our guest believes very strongly today, that relationships are what it's about. And every week, we invite in innovative thinkers, real people doing real things on the forefront of building networks, and certainly our guest today is nothing less than that. His name is David Knorr. David is a social networking strategist and, one of the world's foremost thought leaders on quantifiable, and we're going to have fun with this one, value of business relationships. He's a native of Iran. David came to the U.S., one of these great stories. He had a suitcase. He had $100. He knew a couple of people and a little bit of English. And over the last 25 years, everyone, he built a rather impressive career with large corporations, small businesses. In fact, I won't even go through that list. For those that are interested, you'll go figure it out. And David, by the way, is the author of Relationship Economics on Wiley, came out this year. So certainly congratulations on that, David. He's a senior management advisor. Many of you may have even heard him speak at corporate and associations, academic forums, who knows. And he's, by the way, the CEO of B1 Now here, Incorporated. David, welcome to the program.
Ron, thanks very much. I appreciate you having me.
And I know you're down there in the fine state of Atlanta, Georgia, the city of Atlanta, Georgia, unlike where I'm at, where it's kind of snowy and cold. I'm thinking you have a pretty day down there today, David.
It is a beautiful spring day. It's about 60 degrees outside and bright, beautiful sun. So it's definitely Chambers of Commerce day.
And thank you for rubbing it in. Okay, CEO at B1 Now. I love that. I love that name. Help me out here. Tell me a little bit about B1 Now.
Yeah, our mission is just that, is help corporate clients think as one team, operate as one team, much more efficient, much more effective, much more focused, not just with great ideas. And we've certainly seen a lot of missions and visions and strategies, yet you go in a company and you ask three different people and you get four different answers of what business they're in, what business they should be in. So we work with a lot of emerging growth as well as large corporate clients in just that, focusing their teams on a single mission, single effort, single focus.
Yeah, and I love the concept. I often think that you have to be before you can do, and you can only do to the extent of what you are, and what you are is predominantly in how you're thinking. So when you talk about being, and then you throw in the concept of now, help me out, David. Why is it that there are so many people in business that are not being now? Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, and as we speak more about this topic, we deeply believe in the strategic value of relationships within an organization. One of the misnomers about relationships is it's purely an external thing, customers, suppliers, investors, shareholders. A lot of work that we do is focused on intra-company relationships. And you can't build a relationship with someone else unless you start with a healthy self, unless you start with thinking about what's really important in terms of our culture, in terms of our people, in terms of not just noise, that our people are our biggest asset, but investment in that.
Oh, I love that. So you're saying that if I want to build and strengthen and deepen relationships with people and others, I have to build and strengthen relationship with myself?
And not only with yourself, but within the organization. Just, you know, very similar to, you know, a family. If it's dysfunctional within, most people see it outside the place, right? So we talk a lot about how do we get marketing and finance? How do we get engineering and sales? How do we get people, you know, in offices down the hall to stop leaving each other voicemails and text messages and re-engage each other like we do our neighbors at home or we do our friends and become much more thought-provoking, much more thought-enabling of just, again, the real value of those relationships both within as well as external to the organization.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to get deeper into your strategic relationship planning process because I really want to learn more about it. But let me ask you this. Look, David, you and I travel, we meet people, we speak, we train, we do whatever we do, and everybody talks about relationships. Here's my question, and I'm just challenging you on this, David. Why does everybody talk about it, but so few people do anything about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, and Ron is a great point. Unfortunately, a lot of people talk about it, but I'm not sure they really believe in it. And by that I mean, I recently returned from a 10-day trip in Dubai and Bahrain in the Middle East. And it, you know, before that, Beijing and Shanghai, before that, Cape Town and Johannesburg. And every international trip I take reiterates that the rest of the world builds relationships first from which they do business. I now consider myself an American. Unfortunately, as Americans, in many circles, we're so focused on the business that if and only if the business works, we'll think about building the relationships. Hence the disconnect with multicultural management teams. Hence the disconnect with people, engaging people that don't look like us or sound like us or come from our backgrounds. So that's number one.
Yeah, so it's okay. Keep going. That's great.
So again, the rest of the world puts the relationship first, and they build from there. Number two, in our experience, and this is year six for our team and our company, and having read 72 books on this topic and collaborating with over a dozen PhDs around the world, when people say they get relationships, what we've identified is there's actually two camps. And we call it relationship economics, the art and science. Just like selling, there's an art and a science. Relationships are very much about the art, which is how to introduce yourself, how to your elevator speech, your, you know, get a business card, give a business card, all that stuff. And there's a plethora of material and resources out there in the market about the art, how to be a conference commando, how to work a room. And some of it I don't agree with, but there's certainly a lot of stuff out there. The other camp is the science of relationships. And unfortunately, that has been extremely academic, and it's been in places like MIT Lab and a lot of university, a lot of academic circles since the 30s and 40s. The challenge is its applications in the corporate arena have been limited to date. So what we've done is we've brought the hybrid of those two together. So back to your question of why people say get it but they don't do it, they get the art. I'm not sure as many people get the science.
So what's missing is the science.
Absolutely.
Something that's systematic. Okay, so I got it. So I love that. I love that. So what's happening is everybody loves this concept of building relationships. They love the art of it, the joy of interaction, but they don't have any this scientific. Now, go back to your research for a minute. I know you mentioned about 10 PhDs and a bunch of other types of people. It sounds, David, like you've put a lot of time and effort into really looking at this.
Sure. We've spent the last 6 years really digging into a particular field called social network analysis. SNA, again, has been in the MIT lab since the 30s and 40s, and it began as studying the patterns of human interaction. To put it simply, why do you associate with some people at your office or in your professional environment with others? Well, the layman's term is we have chemistry, or they get me, or we're a lot alike. If you go a little more scientific, if you do any kind of psychological or behavioral profiles like Myers-Briggs or Berkman, Hogan, DISC, HBDI, any of 9, 10 different ones we've done, you'll see that your profiles are very similar to the people you associate with. So, for example, in Myers-Briggs, ENTPs like hanging out with other ENTPs. You go a little deeper than that, that's when you start getting into SNA, again, social network analysis, which is really cross-intersection of five disciplines: sociology, anthropology, psychology, organizational design, and mathematics, specifically graph theory. Bottom line is there's a very real science of why do we interact with certain individuals more so than others. As I said, very academic and unfortunately very dry unless you bring it into corporate setting. People can understand not only what it says, but what it means.
Oh, I love that. So part of the process that you take people through, ultimately, is to give them a greater sense of self. So you'll go through the Myers-Briggs, the DISC, and other kinds of tools or assessments to get people closer to themselves?
Very much so. In terms of our firm, a large percentage of our revenues is focused actually on consulting, then training, and the last one is speaking and technology. And in our consulting practice, we do take clients through a series of assessments. And I'm looking for a couple of things. Number one, beyond this healthy self that I referred to earlier, do we have this person in the right job? Because a lot of organizations have great people. It's just they've got them. And Jim Collins, whom I was pleased to have a chance to meet, who wrote Good to Great, talks about not only getting the right people on the bus, but getting them in the right seats. And I've met a lot of great people in our corporate client hallways and in teams and in meetings that candidly are great people, but they're in the wrong jobs. If someone is not wired, and this is one of the things that HBDI, the assessment tool that I alluded to, is very good at identifying, is literally how we wired drives our preferences. Our preferences drives what we like doing, what we enjoy doing. And what we enjoy doing drives our competencies and capabilities in many ways. So, a raving introvert who is a great analytical mind but is going to be extremely uncomfortable reaching out to other people and saying hello, probably is not going to make the best salesperson out there, right? Conversely, somebody who does really well in direct selling, when they're put in a channel or a distribution role where they have to sell through influencing others, often without authority, isn't going to do very well in that role. So our assessments really allow us to identify, not only do you have great people, but are they in the right role? And then we talk about, do they have the tools and the resources and the training and development to excel in their functions?
Oh, I love that. Okay, now let's jump a little bit. And I want to get back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. We talked about what was missing is this science, and specifically a systematic, you know, everybody's, you know, how do you measure? Help me out on this. How do you measure relationship currency? I'm curious on how you're thinking.
Yeah, so let me give you some specific examples. One of the most often downloaded, and by the way, it's free on our website. I've recorded a audio session on the top 10 reasons most networking doesn't work, and the number one reason I address, and unfortunately, this came from our training sessions and from my speeches, and people constantly complain that they keep attending, you know, they get out there and they quote-unquote network, but they have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, but you would agree with me, David, so let's just come to an agreement. Networking is dead. Come on.
It really is.
And it's hit and miss.
Sure. Well, a lot of people, by definition, network sounds like a chore. And I don't know about you. I don't get that excited about doing chores. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people feel like it's something they have to do versus something they should, and it's really valuable for them. So
you're saying, when you say on your website you've got something that's downloadable, is that the relationshipeconomics.net?
Sure. If they go to relationshipeconomics, again, plural.net, for the network, for the community sense, on the bottom right-hand corner, there's over 200 articles on the website. I often put up podcasts. There's a lot of free downloadable audio down there as well. And our goal is to really get our message about the quantifiable and strategic value of relationships out. But let me address your question about how do you measure it? How do you think about this? You don't have the bandwidth to invest in every relationship equally. So said another way, any given day, you could have lunch with a lot of different people. Which ones? Right? Which ones do you choose to prioritize? Which ones do you choose to invest in if you really believe relationships are an investment? Well, again, Six Sigma taught me this. You can't possibly improve anything you don't measure. So what we've done is we've built a series of, think of them as relationship scorecards. Think of them as matrix. Think of them as indices. Think of them as a value pyramids. Think of them as all kinds of metrics that we've got an influence map, both with company, what we call intra-company, as well as one external to it, that if nothing else, they give you the tools to start measuring not only what are you doing, but why. And what's the return on involvement? What's the return on influence? What's the return on impact? Not just clever ROI terms we've come up with, but traditionally perceived as soft assets, we've figured out ways to quantify these.
Oh, I love that. Return on involvement, wow. Let me just look for the ROI, right?
Sure. And let me just real quickly on the return on involvement. You know, a lot of people belong to a lot of different organizations. They attend a lot of different functions. Well, how many different functions did you attend last month or last quarter? And candidly, what do you have to show for? You keep showing up and you keep seeing the same people that you see month after month. What do you have to show for? Now, they don't all directly result in revenue, say, per se, but they do have to produce some sort of a result, some sort of a progress against a predetermined set of goals and objectives. And if they're not, what's then really your return on involvement in that organization, in that association, in keeping to, you know, keep paying for lunches and dinners and coffees that you have nothing to show for?
Yeah, but you're asking people to get focused, David. Come on. I mean, you're asking people to pay attention to what how they can be more productive and more focused.
Novel concept.
I can't believe it. But you're right. People go to these networking events and they don't do anything. They don't follow up.
And they get cards and they give cards and they come back with a stack of cards and they never follow up. Or they don't even know why they're collecting those cards. For what purpose? For what end? And they then complain. Then they complain that, you know, I'm giving up time with my family to go to yet another, you know, meet, what I call drive-by greeting, right? Meet and greet and get cards and give cards. Let me save you the time and aggravation. There's something called the Yellow Pages, and it does the same thing. If your intent is purely to go get cards and give cards versus...
Okay, and by the way, I want to remind everybody once again, you got to go to relationshipcurrency.com, which is another website, but they've got all kinds of great things. I mean, you got this thing about connecting dots, and so let me ask you this, David. So there's 10 reasons why networking doesn't work. That's a free downloadable thing, and I know
that's
there's
cool.
other things on your site, but give me a couple of quick hints right now.
A good example is LinkedIn. I mean, a lot of people have heard of LinkedIn. It's a very popular professional social networking tool. There's over 17 million users on LinkedIn from 160 different industries as the time of our conversation right now. Unfortunately, less than 10% of them really know how to get the most out of the tool. So we do not only a monthly webinar on different social networking tools, but I do one on LinkedIn alone. And how to go and build a content-rich profile, I've got something like a 98% success rate in my introductions, in my requests for introductions being successful. Well, that didn't happen overnight. And you have to, again, you automate, if you develop a process from which you automate, you get efficiency. If conversely, you try to automate either a broken or a wrong process, you candidly are going to get garbage automated.
I hear you. Let me ask you this, David. Give me some mistakes, relationship-centric, focused mistakes that most people are making.
Sure.
Can you give me a couple of those? I know you talk about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. The first one is what I call PGP, purpose, goals, and a plan. Right. If you think about it, most people network without any kind of a purpose, without any kind of a goal or objective, and without any kind of a plan. I equate it to... You can't possibly – why are you networking? For what end? For what purpose? For what are you trying to do? Unless those goals are succinct, unless they're – again, you have objective, unless you have some real actionable, here's why I want to meet Ron. I want to meet Ron. And most people come and say, I just want to meet Ron. Well, for what purpose? Well, I want to get – you know, I want to get interviewed for his radio program. For what end? What value are you bringing that – and what are you doing to arm me with the ammunition to introduce you? So that I haven't really thought about the process. They haven't thought through how can I make this networking, this relationship building successful.
Yeah,
along the same lines, Yeah, along the same lines, a lot of, unfortunately, networking is haphazard. It's reactive. It's without any kind of intentional, again, game plan. Let me give you an example. Here in Atlanta, I belong to some 16 different organizations, right? I can't possibly attend all their events. Well, I can't attend all their events. So what I do is when I get their monthly emails, or most organizations have their upcoming programs on their website, right? I create a master calendar of here are all the events that are going on this month, which ones, and most people are going to attend for two reasons. One is content. The other one is community. So I look at who's going to present really compelling, really interesting content that I care about. Number two, who's going to be there? What are the caliber of people are going to be there to hear that same content? And again, let me give you a very specific one. I went to Emory University here in Atlanta. It's a very well-respected business university. The executive program is ranked in the top five. And so it's a great program, but let's be candid. It's no Harvard, right? But Emory University, I'm candid, right? So Emory University is a member of something called APSA, the Alliance of Business Schools. From that relationship, I can attend the Harvard Business School Club of Atlanta events as a guest. Right, Harvard Business School of Atlanta, like other clubs, do a phenomenal job in bringing world-class executives to speak. Recently, I went and heard the president of Ford North America talk about the challenges in the auto industry, or the chairman, in this case, the chairwoman of Time Inc., talk about the publishing printing. Think about it. A, that's going to be a really interesting person with some really interesting content. Number two, the people who show up are going to be the McKinsey, the Bain, the BCG, they're really bright, really, you know, sharp people that I want to associate with. That's something that I prioritize on my master calendar each month. So I'm not showing up at any event, A, blindly. B, there's an opportunity cost. If I go to something else versus hear that really profile executive speak, I miss on not only the content, but the caliber of the people that are going to be there who are much more aligned with why I network. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I love that. Purpose, goal, and plan. Okay, let me ask you this then. Okay, listen. I found you on the internet, David. Okay, that's the bottom line. And I found your work very interesting. And, in fact, that's why you're on the show and what a thrill it is. And I'm sure we can speak again and again and again because I don't think people will get tired of hearing things. But let me ask you this. When somebody meets you, and you know, I've seen your picture. I mean, you're an interesting-looking person, not even a question whether you have a great presence, and people can feel this. My question to you is, how are you creating impact at the point of interaction? How is it that you can make a difference in the life of anybody at the moment you meet them? And do you have any idea? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that, on how you approach that?
Sure. Again, a great point. Unfortunately, most people, when they network, they have their hand out versus giving a hand.
Right.
You know, everybody's got the what's in it for me going on. I go back to, I think, a dadism that we've all heard. You know, it's a heck of a lot easier to ask for a withdrawal after you've made a deposit. You know, said another way, and we've all heard this, you got to give to get, right? So when I meet someone, regardless of what networking event I'm in, A, it's a lot less – I focus intentionally on reducing my self-interest, right? And my whole point is if I can get to know them – and I, by the way, I go to a networking event, I would much rather get to know – you know, half a dozen interesting people, then come back to my office or come home with a stack of 40, 50 business cards that are useless, right?
Okay.
So I focus on a dozen or half a dozen or so interesting, you know, high-profile people, and the entire time as we're talking, I'm asking about them. I'm engaging them. I'm trying to get to know them. While they're sharing information with me, I'm constantly thinking, what knowledge, what talent, what access to an influential relationship could I bring to this person? Because, Ron, one of the natural laws in relationships is one of reciprocity. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. But those who get the value of a relationship, when you make an investment in them, not only the light bulb goes off and they say thank you, but they're also thinking, well, that's very kind. What can I do to help you? That's what I'm after. And again, this is critical to point out. I'm not telling people, I'm not teaching people how to be manipulative. I'm not talking to them about an elegant way to use people. What I'm simply saying is if we go back to the age-old notion that if you start by giving, if you find a way to be an asset to others, those who get it, and candidly, that's what I consider when I meet anybody new. I'm thinking, can we do business together? I'm thinking, if I find a way to be an asset to this person, will they understand and appreciate the value of a relationship? And at some point in time when I call, if I call, they'll figure out a way to reciprocate.
So what you're simply saying that the gift is in the giving. My God, you're saying that I've got to invest. Now, you said I have to invest. It's easier to withdraw once I've made the deposit. So you're saying that I can't come out of the gate and get a line of credit, right?
That's and you can't. Yeah, you can't ask a bank for $1,000 if you've deposited $10. You know, that's the other analogy most people miss. But beyond just giving, Ron, and this might be of interest to your listeners. I talk about three types of networkers or relationship builders. One is givers, right? God bless Mother Teresa. There's something very noble in just purely giving. Yeah. Most of us can't afford to do just that, right? Number two is the other end of this, you know, pendulum, which are the takers, right? You've met this type. The only time they call is when they want something. And my least favorite example is when people are looking for jobs. Do you have a job? I'm going to need a job. Do you have a job? Do you have anybody who needs a job? So they network like mad looking for a job. And you're laughing because you know exactly where I'm going. What happens when they find a job? They stop all the networking. They forget everybody who helped them get there until 3 years from now when they call you back. What do they want? They want another job. Yeah, and most people aren't very likely to help them. Unfortunately, I actually call them on it. Ron, I'm sorry, what happened to the introductions I made for you 3 years ago? And when was the last time you called me to see how I'm doing, right? That's a classic case of a taker. The last one is an investor. Givers, takers, and investors. Investors understand that you can't, as I said earlier, you don't have the bandwidth to invest in anybody equally. So how do you prioritize which relationships are most critical, most strategic to goals, objectives, what you're trying to achieve? You invest in those relationships, and you look for a return on that investment. Again, maybe not today or tomorrow or a direct return, but you build social capital. You build what we call relationship currency in your relationship bank so you can go ask for access to that bank at some future point when you need it.
Oh, I love that. You know, the one thing that's so clear, and we're running out of time, but what's so clear, David, is that you have really put a lot of time and a lot of effort. You've thought about this. There's so much I can tell that you can share because there's no shortage of interactions and relationships that you've developed. We've been speaking with David Noor as part of the Noor Group. He's the CEO at B1 Now. And I know many of you are appreciating this. And for those that are not sure who David is, he's a social networking strategist. And certainly, in my opinion, as well as the opinion of others, a foremost thought leader on the quantifiable value of business networking. David, let me put out a little bit of information if I can. Number one, for those that are interested in learning more about David Noor, Nour, you can go to relationshipeconomics, that's with an S, .net. He's got a blog. He's got all kinds of great stuff. I think we've heard David talk about the 10 mistakes that most people are making and why networking doesn't work. It's free. You got to get it, and you got to send it to people. Is there a reason for them to jump over to relationship currency?
Sure.
It a different
– Yeah, so Relationship Economics and the blog has a lot of free – again, there's over 200 articles. There's a lot of audio downloads. The Relationship Currency website, in essence, is our educational resource center. So think of a lot of – when I speak at keynotes and conferences, again, as you can appreciate, in a 45, 60, even 90-minute keynote, I can tell you a lot of what, but I can't tell you how. So I've written a 75-page booklet on relationship currency best practices. I can show you what LinkedIn is all about, but I've written a 75-page booklet on, again, LinkedIn best practices. So there's a lot of great resources on relationshipcurrency.com
that
will reinforce a lot of what we've been talking about.
So what do you do for fun, David? Is it just you just enjoy going out and meeting people? Or?
Yeah,
How's that measured?
Well, I know you can appreciate this. I actually have a couple of young children, so I'm passionate about my time with my family. And when you're on the road as much as you and I are, and others are, I greatly value any time I can quiet time at home with them. But we love to travel. Believe it or not, I love reading. I love books on tape and CDs on tape. CDs and we love the outdoors. So don't laugh. I'm an old Eagle Scout, so we love the outdoors. And I take my young children camping, and we love the real deal,
David. You are the real deal, my friend. Years ago I met Ann Bowe. And Ann Bowe, as you may remember, wrote the book, Is Your Networking? And unfortunately, she's no longer with us. But she always used to say, I am the only single lady in San Diego with a toll-free number. That was her thing. It was always her closing. And by the way, married guy loves to talk about relationships. And you also have a toll-free number. Can I give it out to people?
Absolutely. Love to hear from as many people as would like to call.
Okay, so for those that want to talk to David, and you just heard it, okay, it's 888, not 800, but 888, it is toll-free, 339-1333, that's toll-free, 888-339-1333. You got to get to relationshipeconomics.net or relationshipcurrency.com. And in closing, we always like to leave people, David, the listening audience, thinking about something. I call them thinking points for connecting forward. So my question, David, is what thinking point would you like to leave for the audience today?
Sure. I ask a lot of executives very similar, a lot of people I deal with this very same question. Think about all the people you know. Call your relationship bank. Do you have contacts or do you have relationships? Contacts to many are unfortunately just that, is their contact information. It's a name, it's a number, it's a circumstance. Relationships, and unfortunately contacts come from a lot of quote-unquote traditional networking. Relationships are much deeper. Relationships return your calls and emails within 24 hours. Relationships, when you're in trouble and you call for help, they come to your rescue. So you know a lot of people. Respectfully, so what? How many of them are strategic? How many of them really would consider an asset to what you're trying to do? Again, do you have contacts or do you have relationships?
That is just a great ending, David. There's not much more I can say. Thank you so much for taking some time and being with us today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Networking. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.